It's awfully hard to say anything after that. You know, in 1973, I think one of the darkest days in the history of our nation occurred when the Supreme Court ruled in Roe v. Wade that it would be legal to kill an unborn baby up until the sixth month of pregnancy. Since that time, that was 50 million BBs you heard drop, but that was as of 2015. As of today, there would be some 70 million to drop. You know, I heard on the way over here this morning on the radio that they were talking about, and it's a positive thing, and I believe it's God's hand. Though there have been fewer proportionate abortions in the last two or three years than the years past. And they were also reporting that in the last pro-choice demonstration in Washington, D.C., there was only a few thousand. In the last pro-life demonstration in Washington, there were hundreds of thousands. You see, prayer works. You know, in Exodus, before you be turned to Psalm 139, that's where our message is going to be, but in Exodus chapter 21, when I was in law school, in my constitutional law class, I debated a lady that ran an abortion clinic in Birmingham. And, you know, she was a nice lady. I just didn't like what she did. And so we had a debate, and one of the things that I argued, and I hope still one day our Supreme Court will find that, you know, an unborn baby has a right. If you go out here and you're in a wreck and you kill a woman with an unborn baby, then you know what? There's two people that will sue you, the mother and the unborn baby. But yet, when someone chooses to take a life of a baby, then nothing can be done. Exodus chapter 21, verse 22, and so that you can see this principle has always been here. It said, if men strive and hurt a woman with child, so that her fruit depart from her, and yet no mischief follow, he shall be surely punished according as the woman's husband will lay upon him, and shall pay as the judges determine. And if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. You see, in the first case, if the baby's uninjured, then it's a monetary damage. If the baby is killed in biblical times, it was a death penalty. You know, my Bible teaches me that like any sin, God hates abortion, but God loves you. You see, 70 million babies have been killed since this Roe v. Wade. And what the most disturbing thing is that 90% of the women and men who, as couples, seek abortion is for convenience. They don't want a baby to interfere with their careers or their education, their finances, or their family. But listen, and almost every time I've preached a sanctity of human life message, there's usually been someone who's gone through an abortion. I want to tell you, if you're that person, maybe there's not. But if you're that person, understand that God loves you. Just like any other sin, God can forgive you. But one day I was getting off the elevator at the hospital RMC and a nurse was getting on. I knew her just because she belonged to another church, but she was bringing her children to our Wednesday night program. And we chatted just a moment, and she said, Brother George, can I come see you sometime? I said, sure. I thought it was a legal matter, and I just called my secretary and set an appointment, which she did. She came in, and she said, I want you to understand, I can't talk to my pastor about this. Now, I'm sorry, but, you know, what is it? And she began to share a story with me a little bit. She was in her mid, maybe 40-ish, I'm not sure. Had a couple of teenagers, or smaller children. One was a teenager. She began to share with me a lot of things happened in her life. And we talked about spiritual things, and she said, you know, I'm a Sunday school teacher at my church. We're active in everything. I said, but I know deep down I've never truly received Christ as my Savior. I said, well, we can do it. And she prayed to receive Christ in my office. But what came next, I was not looking for. She said, there's something in my life that I've never told anybody. But she said, when I was 16 years old, said, I got pregnant. And said, my parents and everybody decided that we had to get rid of that baby. And she said, I was young and scared. And she said, I didn't know what to do. She said, I was so afraid. And so she said, they loaded me up. And I went and I had an abortion. And she said, I want you to understand something. She said, there's not a day in my life that I don't think about that baby. She said, when I see my current two children, she said, there's not a day that I don't think, what would my first have been? You see, that's typically the story that I hear from people. I want you to know, if you're in that situation, just like I told her, I said, God will forgive you. A sin is a sin. But see, there's something we need to understand. I want to do a little illustration. This is a $100 bill. I searched and searched and finally found one in Leanne's purse. But how many in here would like to have this $100 bill? Got some hands? All right. Now, if I tore it in half, where's Cheryl? Can I still get it if I got both halves, if I go in the bank? Okay, no. But if I tore it in half, how many would still want it? All right. If I wadded this thing up and just threw it on the floor, how many would still want it? If I go over here and I step on that thing, I grind it in the floor as hard as I can grind it, and I go back and forth, there's already hands going up. Now how many would still want it? Now why would you still want it? It has some value, doesn't it? And why does it have some value? Because our government created it. And our government says it's worth something. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to put it back in my pocket before I forget it. I'm going to tell you something. Every human life is worth something to the Creator. Everyone, born and unborn. And I happen to believe that life begins at conception. I happen to believe that it's not something that we can decide halfway through we don't want, or as recent laws, and I think that's one reason why that we're seeing the abortion rate going down a little bit, is because people have gotten so crazy, just like the governor in Virginia and these others that say, oh, we'll let it be partially born, we'll just keep it comfortable till we decide whether or not we're going to kill it, then we'll stick something in its head and kill it. Listen, God is not going to stand for that. And there's going to be some people that are going to pay a heavy, heavy price. But as we look in Psalms 139, and if you would please go ahead and stand before I get too cranked up. But we see the words here in God's Word. It says, for thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. And that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, thine eyes did see my substance. Yet, being imperfect, and in thy book, all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum or the total of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than in the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. May we pray. Our Father, Lord, we thank you so much, God, for loving us, for loving the born and the unborn. God, for loving every creation, God, that you did. Your thoughts were on us before we were ever even conceived. You had a plan for us. And God, your plan was not for some doctor and some nurse to tear us limb from limb before we can ever even experience that first breath of life. But God, your plan for us is to carry out your work. God, I pray this morning, Lord, that we all examine our own hearts. God, maybe there's no one in here that's ever had an abortion, but God, everyone in here have sinned. And God, every one of us have done something that in your eyes is just as terrible as that. God, help us all to look at our own selves and not others, and to look inward so that we can see your plan for us and our lives. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, as I began to think about this, and I said, you know what? We're all wearing God's designer jeans. You know, if you think about that, every one of us, I don't know if any of you got a pair of designer jeans, but you know, I'm going to tell you, we're all wearing his designer jeans. G-E-N-E instead of J-E-A-N, but, or however you spell the other jeans, I don't even know. But anyway, but listen, I want you to understand something this morning. The unborn's life was planned by God. Look in verse 13. It says, "For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb." And listen, his number one plan for every child is that we are able to evangelize that child. Do you realize that an abortion forever kills the opportunity to evangelize that child? Folks, I'm going to tell you something. It's not just some blob. It is a human being. It is a part of us. It is a divine plan of God for our children to be evangelized. Folks, once that child is born, listen, I'm going to tell you something. It's your responsibility to share Jesus with that child. Throughout the scriptures, and I'm not going to take time to read all of them, but Romans 10:17, Matthew 19:3-4, all these things talk about how we are to raise up our child and teach our child the ways of God, the truth of God. Listen, when that child is aborted, that opportunity never comes. That opportunity will never, ever come. Not only that, but his plan is to educate that child. First of all, in God's ways. Listen, the Gospel of John says we are to teach our children the truth of God's ways, not the false things of God. Listen, there are so many false doctrines out here that it's a wonder any of our children have walking around sense if they're listening to the world. The only true place to educate our children is through the Word of God, and we must do that. Parents, do not let an opportunity to educate your child in Christ pass by. Listen, it's good to have all the other education in the world. It's good to have all the line of doctrines, doctorates and masters and all these things of my own. But listen, if they don't know Christ, they might as well throw all that out. But when that child is aborted before it ever breathes its first breath, you don't have that opportunity to educate that child. You know, we don't know, but I've often wondered if of these 70 million babies, if one of them maybe would have possessed the cure for cancer. If one of them, I mean, listen, we don't know what God's plans were, but he does. But there's 70 million children since 1973 when our Supreme Court went crazy that will never have the opportunity to help anybody or do anything. You see, that's what this terrible thing does to our children. He wants us to raise them up, educate them in God's ways, not only that, in God's work. Listen, I've wanted two in those 70 million. Wonder how many Billy Grahams would have been out there. Wonder how many people that would have had such an influence on millions and millions of people ended up in the garbage heap. Folks, I don't know. Sometimes it's easy for us to turn our head and just not think about the atrocity that goes on in an abortion. Because we have younger people in there, I won't talk about it. But just, if you don't know how it works, you need to go see it. You need to go do a little research and understand the graphic detail of what goes into a child that's been aborted. Folks, we need to raise those children up so they can do God's work. You see, God's intent for everyone is to do that. Not only that, His plan is to encourage that child. Listen, if we look here and what He says, what He said, I'm going to give them blessings. He said, listen, He wants us, His plan is to encourage our children through His blessings. Folks, have you ever thought how many of God's blessings ended up in the garbage heap as well? Folks, this is something we need to take seriously. It's easy for us to look back and just kind of, I guess, hide our head in the sand and say, this is not going on around us. But folks, it is. And I believe if we really thought and it registered with us 1 minute how precious every human life is. Listen, our whole society, to me, has just a total disregard for the sanctity of human life. They didn't. How can somebody jump up in a church and start shooting people? Because they didn't give them gas money. I mean, how could some foreign government shoot down an airliner and could care less? I mean, how can some nut strap a bomb on himself and walk into a crowded place and set it off and kill millions or hundreds of people? And see, and if you look and you see these people that do that, their intent is to kill as many people as they can. They'll put all kind of lead and glass and shrapnel, whatever will be spread out when it explodes to kill as many people. They'll also, many times when they blow up a place, they know the exit way and people will begin to run out. And you know what they do? They set another bomb off. When everybody's trying, that is a total disregard for human life. That is, listen, it doesn't matter. We see it in euthanasia. Listen, there's a big segment of this population that says, well, when you get old and you all you're doing is laying there in a hospital bed or a nursing home bed, then why don't we just go ahead and get that person out of the way? Because when God gets ready for that person to get out of the way, He'll take them, not you. It's not your job to take someone else's life. It's not your job to take your own life. It's not your job to be this kind of person to totally upend God's plans. Secondly, though the unborn's life was produced by God. Man, think about this. For thou hast possessed my reins, and thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. And I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. Listen, it is His personal work. You do realize that each person in his mother's womb was fashioned by God's hand. Folks, how can you just discard that when you know if you believe God is God and you believe God is the Creator, then you've got to believe that each one of us were personally fashioned by God's hand. Listen, it's a precious thing and it's something that God does. It's His personal work. Why? Because He made you in His image. Listen, folks, understand this, that each little baby that's born, each old person like me was made in God's image. God fashioned us. Yes, we all look different. But God made us just how He wanted us to be. And it's not anybody's business, no doctor's business or anybody else's business to say, hey, I can decide whether you're fit or not to be in this world. Not only that is his personal work, but it's his precise work. God made us exactly how he wanted. The womb is a place of protection, not a place of decision. It seems like today it's not a place of protection by God, it's a place of decision by doctors and women and men. Folks, the time for the decision is before that baby is placed in that womb. The time for those decisions are then, but once you have experienced that, then that becomes God's creation. It belongs to him. Listen, I'll tell you this. I probably, and y'all probably heard this growing up, and I probably heard it once or twice. I brought you in this world, I can take you out. I know none of y'all have ever said that now, have you? But the truth of the matter is, no, you can't. Because God is the one that decides when we're to be taken out. It's God's business, not our business. Why? Because he formed us, he fashioned us, he made us who we are. And so he gave us his protection in the mother's womb, but then he gave us his perfection. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. No one else shares your DNA. Have you ever realized that? You know, and crimes are solved and parenthood is solved and all this kind of stuff through DNA, because you know what? Out of the gazillions of different elements of DNA, each one of you has your own set of DNA, and there is no one else that could possibly, if there's a possibility, it's in the billions of having that same DNA. Not only that, but these little things on the tips of your fingers called fingertips, do you realize there's not anyone else that has those exact things? When I was in law enforcement, I had to look at loops and whirls and count this and the delta and all that stuff. And you know what? I got lost. But what I understood was that there's no one else. If I find that fingerprint on that gun, that means you've been there sooner or later. If I find that fingerprint on that door, that means you've been there. You may try to blame it on someone else. You know why? Because God made us perfect, exactly the way he wanted us to be. It's God that has the right of ownership, not you. God owns every one of us because he created us. It's not our decision, it's his. He has the right of ownership to every life that's ever been conceived. That's God's. So we need to understand that the unborn's life was produced by God. But please, if you don't understand anything else this morning, understand that the unborn's life is precious to God. Oh my, verse 16, he says, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, and when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum. They all add up. If I could count them, they are more in number than the sands when I awake. I am still with thee. Listen, we are precious to God, number one, because of his heart. He cares about the unborn, and he cares about you. You see, once we are born, I'm going to tell you something, there's not one of us perfect then. But as the psalmist says, I was born perfect, but then I became unperfect or imperfect real soon. But no matter that, you are God's and he loves you. Because you see, God understands that none of us are ever going to walk this world perfect. Everybody in here has got things that they would regret that they've ever done. All of us are going to sin by the time we get out to the parking lot. We understand that because we are imperfect. But even in that, God says, I love you and I care for you. You see, that's a heart. That's why we, so many times it's hard for us to love imperfect people because we're not God. But you see, God's heart makes it that he loves everybody. He loves you no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done. He loves you enough to save you this morning. If you have never trusted Christ, listen, because of His love, you cannot be too imperfect for Him. You can't do enough bad things to say for God to say, okay, I'm through with you. No. Until you draw your last breath, there's an opportunity for God to save you because of His heart. You see, He wants us to be exposed to His Word. You know, Proverbs 22, y'all probably all quote this, but it said, what, train up a child in the ways of God, and when he gets old, he won't depart from them. Listen, what God wants us to do is to be exposed to the Word of God. You see, abortion stops that. Abortion kills that exposure to God here on earth. And the reason it does that is He wants it to be for your service. You will not depart from it. He said, listen, if you are taught the truths of God and you put them in your heart and you really mean it when you do it, then as you get older, you're not going to depart from them. In other words, God says, if you're exposed to the right teaching and the right truth of who I am, then no matter what comes your way, by getting old, what He's talking about is as circumstances come your way all along your life, we're all going to make mistakes. But I don't know how you are, but if I willfully sin, it takes God about a millisecond to spank me. Poof. You see, He understands we're all going to willfully sin. But He understands that if we love Him, we're coming right back to Him. We're going to understand that He was the very best thing that could ever come our way. He wants us to be exposed to the Word of God. Then He wants us to be exposed to the work of God. And by that, I'm not talking about your work. But I'm talking about His work. You see, when we kill a child, that child will never, ever be exposed to the work of God's salvation. You see, that is a mighty work, a mighty miracle in our lives, is for God to save us. And you see, when we kill the unborn, that child never gets that opportunity. You see, there's, again, false doctrine that says that, you know, you have no choice, that child has no choice in it, and you're either going to be saved or you're not going to be saved, and you have nothing. Listen, it would scare me to death. It would break me to my knees to think that there's nothing I could have done to point my children in the direction of God to be saved, or my grandson. You see, that's how foolish Satan wants us to believe, so that we won't experience the work of God in our own lives. We just say, if you believe that false doctrine, I'm going to tell you something, then we might as well shut the doors down here. If you believe that we have nothing to do, that God's exposure to God's Word does nothing toward the work of salvation, exposure to God's people, exposure to all the things of God, then we might as well shut the doors down. You see, Satan would love for us to believe that. But an aborted child never, ever, ever gets to experience the work of God. Not only that, but it's because of His hands that we're precious to Him. You see, He knit you together. The Bible said we are skillfully knit together in the womb. Think about that, folks. No doctor or no person has a right to tear apart what God has skillfully knitted together. But if you're here this morning, I want to tell you something. You are important to God. He loves you. He wants to save you if you're not saved. And He wants to see you go to work if you are saved. He wants to see you to first of all, know that you know that you know that if you died tonight, this afternoon, you'd spend eternity in heaven. You see, if you don't know that, then you don't know anything. It starts there. But only then can He begin to work on the other parts of your heart about towards service and things like that. So you see, the best thing you could do on Sanctity of Human Life Sunday is to understand what sanctity is. To understand how important it is for you to be God's child once you've exited that womb. And secondly, understand that God stands ready to forgive everyone. Listen, I have no way of knowing if anyone's ever been through the experience of an abortion, but I can tell you this. That God loves you And God stands ready to forgive. You see, this is not a condemnation of you. Listen, I go back to this 16-year-old, this lady when she was 16 years old. I saw for probably about 25 years from that day, she was tormented every day. What we did in my office that Monday when she, that morning when she walked in, as she prayed, received Christ, I said, now, God has forgiven you for that abortion. Now it's time for you to forgive you. You see, there's so many times that we do things in our lives. Yeah, they may be reprehensible things. Yeah, they may be terrible things. Yeah, they might even be illegal things. But you know what? When we truly confess that to God, He will forgive you. You see, the consequences for this young lady I was talking about is she had 25 years of self-inflicted pain because of what she did. And I don't know today, I imagine those thoughts still crop up sometime, but at least in her heart, she knows she's forgiven. See, that was one thing I was worried about. It's amazing to me, and I'll share this with you about that conversation. And I asked her several years ago if I could share her story without using names. She wouldn't care if I used her name, but I'm not going to. But what I saw was a broken, tormented, 40-year-old Sunday school teacher and church member. It felt like she couldn't talk to her pastor. You see, first thing she wanted to confess to me, and I mean in tears, I've got a tattoo on my leg. I said, okay. But she was just heartbroken because someone had told her if she had a tattoo, she's going to hell. That's in the book of Hezekiah, I think. But then once she was able to get that out, then she got out that deep, hidden secret. She said, no one knew. They rushed me out. We had it done. And they wanted me to come back to school like nothing had ever happened. She said, I couldn't do that. Folks, God wants to forgive you, and then He wants you to forgive you. That's the important thing. If you're here this morning and you're carrying baggage that you just simply cannot forgive, then let God help you forgive it. If you're here and you never trusted Christ, and I can promise you you're never going to be able to forgive yourself because you've got to get His forgiveness first. This morning, you just decided this is the place I know that God wants me to come and go to work, then why are you waiting for? Come on down and join fellowship with us. More importantly, though, if you've never trusted Christ, please get the courage to stand up and step out in just 1 minute so that those burdens can be relieved forever from you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much. God, we are burdened for the unborn, or those precious ones that our country seems to take for granted, that so many people think that it's their choice. God, it's not their choice. It's yours. God, this morning, what people do have a choice as to whether or not to make things right with you. God, if there's some sin that's bothering someone, then today is the day they need to come and fall on their face before you and ask your forgiveness. God, there are others that have never truly trusted Christ. Lord, today is the day they need to come and take my hand and say, Brother George, I want to know that I know that I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven. And Lord, you know there's others that need to come on, join fellowship with your church, and God, go to work sharing the things that you've given them, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Won't you stand? Won't you come right now?